Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam Perek Tes, Halacha Zayin. In the Maznaim text, it's page 226, 227. That same sheets, same number on the sheets that I'm giving out. This next halacha is continuing the idea of thief, but a different aspect of thievery. It's based in a pasuk in the Torah, and it's the last source on the sheet. It says in the book of Shmos, "Im b'machteres yimotzei haganav." If you find a thief tunneling in to your house to steal from you, v'huk of a mace, and the owner hits him and kills the ganav, ein lo damim. There is no blood guilt on his account. In other words, if you killed him, there's no problem, and you didn't do anything wrong. Someone's breaking into your house, and we're clear he's breaking because he's making a tunnel to get into your house. He's tunneled into your house. It's like no question that's what he's doing. We're not talking about we're not sure. Clearly he's broken through, tunneled into the basement, whatever, broken through, and he's in your basement, and you're the owner, and you see him, and you hit him or shoot him. You're not going to go to jail. Not like New York state law and other state laws. The pasuk goes on. Im zorchalav, and if the sun shines upon him, damim lo, then there is blood guilt. What does that mean? We will see. Shalem yeshalem. He has to make restitution. Im ein lo v'nim kavanei. So if he's caught, he's got to be sold for his theft. Okay, we're not going to get into that part. So that's the basic halacha. Now we'll look in the Rambam and see how the Rambam deals with these halachas. We can't have any questions yet. I didn't say anything. Can't have any questions. I haven't said anything. When I'll have something to say, then you can ask questions. Okay. We are in the Rambam. Halacha Zayin. Habah b'machteres. A person breaks into the house by tunneling in. Bein bayom bein malayla. Regardless if he does it in the daytime, regardless if he does it at night, and the owner kills him, ain lo damim. There is no blood, so to speak. There's no liability for blood. In other words, when the ganav goes in, he's, so to speak, forfeited his life. And therefore, if you kill him, there's not a problem. Then that's what the next line is going to say. Elim harogu balabais. If the owner of the house kills him, o shar adam. Or for that matter, anybody else kills him. And we'll see why in a minute. Kills him. Pturim, they are potter. They are not liable. And everybody has permission to kill this fellow. Bein b'chol, regardless if he's breaking in a weekday. Bein b'shabbos, regardless if he's breaking on Shabbos. What's the difference? Well, let's say we would bring this ganav into court. Or we'd bring anybody into court who has a capital punishment. We do not administer capital punishments on Shabbos in a court. But over here, since it's a question of self-defense, as we'll explain in the next halacha, doesn't matter if Shabbos or not, you have to defend yourself. And so the guy who is stealing for you on Shabbos, you need to self-defend yourself. And therefore, ubechol mishishchom lamiso, you can kill him in any type of death way possible. Shenemar, because the Torah says, ein lo damim, he has no blood. Meaning to say, the ganef, the thief, has no blood that we're culpable if we kill the fellow. We will explain in tumar halachas the reason for that. But let's just roll on ahead a little bit more right now. It doesn't matter if you are tunneling in through the basement, so to speak, or regardless, let's say the ganav goes in through the roof, and you see him on the roof, or he's in his backyard, or karfifo is another enclosed area that's within the general domain of the owner. These are all clear-cut cases of the guy going in for thievery. Like it's not the delivery man who got lost, so to speak. You know, like it's clear you don't get lost up in these types of areas, okay? So it's clear that this guy is coming as a thief. Bein bayom, bein balayla. Doesn't matter if it's the daytime, doesn't matter if it's night. Same halacha. So the question is, v'lama nemar machteres. So why does the Torah give the example of a machteres, where the guy's tunneling in on the basement? The answer is, because that's the way of most thieves, is to tunnel in at night. In the days of the Torah, that was the general way. But it's not the only way. It's a clear-cut way. Anything that would be similar to that kind of a clear-cut way would be the same halacha. So now, we're not dealing with a based in today. Halacha test. Why has the Torah permitted the blood of the ganav? even though he's clearly only going to steal money. If he's only coming to steal money, what rage you have to kill the fellow? So here is the famous Rambam that is quoting the Gemara. Because we can make the following assumption that's a clear assumption. Shim amad bal habayis lefanav amano. If the owner would come to stop the fellow in the act of thievery, yargenu, he would kill him. And which is based on another principle. The other principle is, when a person sees his money is being stolen, the natural tendency and the normal tendency, even though there might be people not like that way, but the natural, normal, acceptable behavior of a homeowner is to defend his property rights. And therefore, the ganav going in knows that the homeowner is going to defend his property rights. He can't go in and say, I didn't think he's going to stop me. So he should assume he's going to stop you because it's his home and it's his property. And if the guy's going to try to stop him, the guy is going to have to find a way to stop the homeowner. That's the general assumption as well. So now what is that tantamount to say? When the Ganev's coming in, now there can always be an exception to the rule, but you know what, Mr. Ganev? That's the price you pay for being a Ganev. We don't have to err on the side of caution for you. We have to err on the side of caution for law-abiding citizens. A person's in his house, you have no reason to go into his house. So now we have to make certain assumptions that are reasonable assumptions to make. A guy is going in a house to steal from you. You see a burglar coming into your house, you're going to stop the burglar from coming into your house. The burglar sees you're going to stop you, he's going to stop you. He's not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, here, take the stuff and take me to jail. He's generally not going to do that either. And he's going to want to take the money, he's going in to take the money, knowing that you're in the house, knowing there's a possibility that you're going to stop him, and still in all, he's doing that. We will see later Rambams. What if the Ganav goes in a way where he knows you're not in the house? Then there'll be a different halacha. But we're speaking about a normal case. You're in your house, and the Ganav, it's at a time where you normally would be in your house. And the Ganav's coming in, and he knows if you're going to catch him, he's going to stop you. You're going to stop him, and he's going to stop you. So tantamount, so when he's going into your house, he's going with the understanding to kill you if you're going to try to stop him. So as he's going in as a murderer. And that is a halachic status. We call that a rodef. A rodef is a pursuer. Just like we know the halacha is, if you see somebody, Reuven is chasing after Shimon with a dagger trying to kill him, any Jew who sees this is obligated, if they're possible, to stop Reuven from killing Shimon up to the point of killing Reuven. Because Reuven has no right to pursue Shimon. And therefore, he has forfeited his right to life. When you try to kill somebody else, you no longer have any rights in Jewish law. And therefore, anyone and everyone is obliged to stop the fellow from doing such a crime. It's not just Shimon who's being chased can stop Reuven from killing him. Any law-abiding citizen who's watching what's going on is obliged to stop this guy. And if they do, and they're permitted to kill him. So the same thing here. When the guy is coming in the house by the fact that he's a ganav, and he's going into the homeowner's house, and he knows that the homeowner will try to stop him if he catches him, and you know the ganav is going to stop the homeowner from stopping him, and he won't stop at killing the fellow. Therefore, what do we say? He's forfeited his life. And when the owner sees the ganav, he's looking at a pursuer. Because that guy effectively, you can't say the following, hello, Mr. Ganav, okay, I'm not going to stop you, go ahead and take your money. I have no right to kill you. No, that's the liberal Western cuckoo idea of justice. In a normal world, someone is not allowed to go in your house. Finished. He's not allowed to. He's violated your rights. You have a right to stop him, and we know someone who's already wanting to steal from you, and he knows you're there, he's not going to just say, okay, you caught me, here, take the stuff back. That's not how the criminal mind works. And therefore, you will, and even if he's going to start, you know, whatever, you're going to try to get the stuff back from him. So therefore, he is now, as far as we're concerned, out there to murder the homeowner. And there, we don't care about premeditated, not in the Torah idea, it is premeditated murder. Because when you walk in, you know you're going to walk out with that money and you're going to stop the owner from killing you. We don't care if you happen to be the one ganif who, when the owner comes, you'll chicken out and run away. That's not the owner's job to figure out what's in your mind. It's the ganav's job to realize he's forfeiting his life when he goes into someone's house, and you have full rights to kill the fellow. And for that matter, that's why before, the Rambam says, anybody can kill him. It's not just the homeowner. Because you are watching a pursuer in the action of potential pursuit any moment. And therefore, if you're a guest in the house and you see the ganav going in, you have the same right to shoot the guy because he would kill you if you're trying to stop him. You have to stop the guy from doing the crime. Let me just finish the Rambam first. So it comes out. Again, third line. V'nimtza comes out. Zeha nichlas l'beis chaver lignov. If this guy goes into his neighbor's house to steal, he is considered kerodef acher chaver lahargo. He's considered like he's chasing after his neighbor to kill him. Ulafichach ye hareg. And therefore, you are permitted to kill him. Bein shoya godel, bein shoya katan. It doesn't matter if the ganef is an adult or a child. Even though a child, if a child be caught for a capital crime, you would not kill him. Because Bezdin down here is not permitted to kill a child under 13 according to Torah law. But that's only in a court of law. But if the child is coming in as a ganef and he's in your house and he is in effect a pursuer, it doesn't matter if the pursuer is over bar mitzvah, under bar mitzvah, as we can understand from the Palestinian suicide bomber children, that there's no age limit to what the criminal mind will come for murdering people. So if we catch a child who has killed someone already, there's a special halacha that the Bezdin is not permitted through a court of law to kill a minor. But if you see a minor chasing after someone trying to kill someone, you certainly will kill that minor. You have to stop him from killing somebody else. And even if a minor is burglarizing the home, it's the same thing, you have an obligation to kill the burglar. Clearly. So therefore, everyone's allowed to do this. Now, however, there is one halacha that the Mefarshim explain. But if it would be clear, without question, without difficulty, that the homeowner or others in any of these questions, could disable the thief by wounding him and not killing him. But this, in other words, if the owner is an expert marksman, we know he has a degree in sharpshooting, and he can just hit him right in the hand and disable him completely. And then, you know, but you'd have to know that. A general owner isn't responsible to do that. In other words, he's just going to shoot. And, half the shooting now, you're just lucky if you hit anything, right? But if there's a way that you could stop him without killing him, and you'd clearly get it back, and there would be no risk at all to your life, then you'd be obliged to do that. That's a very hard thing to prove. Like I said, you have to be a marksman, and you have to know that he's a marksman. But otherwise, in general, you're permitted to kill the fellow. Okay, questions?
Well, I got several, but one, if you're talking about if he's a marksman, first thing is, what about any reasonable force, like he had a baseball bat instead?
Again, the owner is not responsible to risk his life. If I'm...
You're the owner, you have a baseball bat, you don't have to... The guy, you don't even know if he's armed. You can hit him.
You should assume he is armed. The assumption is he's armed. You'd be a fool to go straight to the guy with a baseball bat when he can pull a gun out and shoot you. And therefore, you're not obliged to come with a baseball bat. Maybe if you work for the police, you have to go that way. I don't know. But if you're the homeowner, your life takes precedence. It's clear. You have to look at your mind that the ganef, he's walking in to murder you. That's the mindset you have to have. So if he's going in to murder you, most conventional ganefs will take will do what it takes to murder. And you've got to make sure that he doesn't have that opportunity to do that. So you come in as the 4'10" owner to the 6'5" ganef with a baseball bat. I don't know how successful it is. You're going to come head on to the fellow. So you just take the gun. It works much better. 911 is totally helpless because the guy's cleaned your house out and gone ready to China before the police even come. So that's not going to help. You're not required to do that because they won't come in soon enough. You go right and shoot the guy and finished. And that's the halach. Yeah. Now, we know there was a famous case in New York about 25 years ago where that's exactly what happened, and they put the homeowner in jail.
It's even worse here in this city. Yeah. The dog attacked the guy, a burglar, and they put the dog down, and the burglar sued the owner in Toronto.
Yeah, okay.
The question I have to ask you, though, is you mentioned that if you see someone breaking into a house, you have the legal right to go chase after that burglar, and you can kill him.
Okay, we're not talking about we're going to talk about exactly what. Right now, we're talking about in the house. Now, we're not talking about out of the house.
Okay, but
we're talking about in the house right now.
So my question is, what about witnesses?
What about witnesses?
Does there have like?
Doesn't have to be any witnesses.
That way,
you don't have to wait for what for you to kill the guy.
The owner's not there now. Okay, the owner's not there. You're in the house. Someone else breaks in. You can say that you broke in, right? I mean,
you don't need to have witnesses. You know what happened. You know, this is not a world where lawyers turn the whole thing upside down and distort truth. We're talking about reality. You're a guest in the house. A guy goes in. The guy has broken in the house. You're the guest. You haven't broken in the house. And now the police will come and they will see that you have killed the guy. So they're going to say, what did you do? You're going to say the guy broke in. Right? The guy did break in. Now, of course, you want to say, oh, what's going to stop the criminal mind of there's two guests and the guy just shoots one of the guests and said he was breaking in, right? Then the best one have to deal with that, of course. There's no end to people who try to take advantage of laws, but that doesn't mean you don't have the laws, right? But clearly, if you see a guy walking in, you're the guest, and you see the ganef is breaking in, it's clear that it's a ganef breaking in, you have to shoot him. That's all there is to it. Yeah, we're not going to get too far today. Yeah, it's okay.
Can you lay a trap for a thief that may get him, whether or not you're home?
Can you lay a trap?
In a high...
We'd have to look into Hilchus Nizikin for that. We'll have to look in Chovel Mazik. We'll have to see what the Ram has to say about that. Generally, when a guy goes into your house and he gets damaged by going into your house, you're not responsible. He has no business being in your house. He has no permission to be in your house. And therefore, if he hurts himself in your house, that's not your problem. Generally speaking. Why is he in your house? You're not allowed in a guy's house without permission. And if anything happens to you in that house, that's your problem. So generally speaking, if you want to lay a trap for a guy like that, what about the case we've already learned? You know, what if you have those kind of dogs? What are those wild dogs? A pit bull. You got a pit bull in your house. Guy walks into your house without permission. Pit bull eats him up, right? You're not obliged for anything because the guy had no permission to be in your house. So, I mean, l'chayra, it would be the same thing. If you go and put a way to stop burglars, I mean, you should put a sign up. At least tell him that, that there's a beware of dog. So then the guy knows he shouldn't be going in there. But it's clearly in cases where it's obvious geneva. We're not going to speak in borderline cases, by the front yard that's abutting the Rishus HaRabim or things like that. But clearly it goes into your house, the private house. It's his problem. Yeah?
What if the rodent is a gola dam or someone chasing a guy for a real... I mean, how can you just kill someone like that?
Again, that's not the case. We're speaking of there's obvious case. You are the homeowner sleeping in your house. Okay? We're speaking of a normal case. You are in your house. It's the middle of the night. Someone's breaking in. You see a shiny gun in his hand. Right? There's nothing you don't have. No, a guy is groping around through your house. Right? You say, who is there? He's not responding. The guy, no one is allowed in your house. You just can't go into somebody's house without permission. That's clear. And the person should assume that if someone's in my house without permission, he's not there to leave me a surprise birthday present. You're not obliged to think that way. You're obliged to think there's a ganef breaking in your house. And you are entitled to stop him. Now, we will see there are certain cases where you know the guy is not going to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. When it's can be proven and you knew the guy isn't going to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. But cases where you're clearly in doubt and you thought it was a gun, if you shouldn't assume that he's not. Yeah?
So how do you practically apply this historic law into a modern day environment? I mean, you can't go around shooting somebody within the context of an American, Canadian, or other law.
Again, these laws may not be able to be applied in Canada.
Or in Israel,
but this is the halacha. Now, the halacha. So this is God's law. The fact that the secular law contravenes God's law, so we are not allowed to contravene the society law. We're just not allowed to. Doesn't mean to say the law is correct. The law is not correct. But we don't have a choice. We can't do anything to contravene the law. But we should know how corrupt Canadian-American law is, because it's not a correct law. And because of those laws, that's why there's more crime as opposed to less crime. I mean, it is unfathomable people make the laws, there's a name for that, right?
Legislators
could make a law that if a guy breaks in your house, he has any rights. It's just a symbolism of sick liberalism whose minds are so open that their brains have fallen out of their minds. And that's what it is. And that's why you have a society where crime is rampant, because there's no way a person can defend himself. And you see the proofs in the pudding of what you see. But this is God's law, and this is the way you would have civil justice in a country. Okay. Ant alocha yud. If it is clear to the owner that the ganav is going in is not intending to kill him, and it's clear to him that the ganav is only coming for the money and not to kill the homeowner, asur lahargo, you're not allowed to kill him. And if you kill him, you are considered a murderer. Now, what will happen to you will depend. If there's witnesses, not witnesses, we can't get into that right now. Next page. Shenemar, how do we know this? Because the Torah says, Im zorcha ha-shemesh alav, if the sun shines upon him. So what does it mean if the sun shines upon him? Does it shine upon one person and not the other? So from here, the Gemara explains, this is what the Torah means. The sun shines upon him. Im bor lecha ha-dover ka-shemesh, if this item is so clear to you, as clear as it is day, it is clear to you, Sheyesh lo shalom imcha, that he is coming peacefully with you, he's not coming to kill you, then al tahargeyu, then you can't kill him. And that's what the pasuk says. If the sun was surely shining on him, there is blood guilt on his account. If it was clear as day that this guy doesn't want to kill you, then you can't kill him. Therefore, his common example, Sofikach, im hababa machteres albano, let's say a father is coming to steal from his son. Alright? Now, if the son will catch the father, it is generally assumed that the father will not kill his own son. He may steal from his son, but he won't kill from his son. And therefore, eino nerug, you shouldn't kill this guy, the father, shavadi eino hargo, because he would not come to kill him. So if a father comes to steal from a kid, the kid cannot kill the father. But the opposite, avol ha-bein ha-bal avi, but if a son comes to steal from a father, nerug, the father can kill the son, because the son's love for the father is not the same. And a son who's coming to steal from his father, if his father will stop him, he will kill his father. That's the general assumption. However, the Gemara says, if we know certainly different than that, if we know that the father has been abusive to the son and has been the worst possible father to the son and hates the son dearly, then the son would have permission to kill him. And farkert, if we know the father really loves his father super duper and he's only coming to steal because he's mamish poor but he would never kill his father, you can't. So again, this would need evaluation on the parts of the courts to decide what it is. But not every case is clear for that. And the next three halachas we'll learn tomorrow will be further examples of if there is clarity or not in terms of what they are doing. Yeah?
Before we said day or night, does it matter whether it's a ganav or a guzlan as far as him coming in
It doesn't matter. The only difference will be if the owner is there and it's in front of the owner. Remember, the guy is going in hoping the owner won't see him. He's still hoping the owner won't see him. But he's coming in knowing that the owner is probably around. And if he's probably around and if he does see me, then I will kill him. So that's still ganef. It's all ganef cases. It's only goslin if the owner sees him and he sees him and it's an out and out case of mugging him. That would be different.
So if the owner's sitting on the front porch and the guy comes across, you can't kill him for coming in.
You can't kill him for coming in. Why not? Unless he's still going to
sitting on the front porch. And he sees the ganef.
But so if you say stop and he doesn't stop, you can kill him. He's still coming to steal from you. We will see. We'll see tomorrow. There's a few more halachas for that.